Welcome to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This show is all about bringing you into the lab, beneath the surface, so you can see things, hear things, and understand things right from the source. Learn from longtime ceramists, dentists, and lab techs, both young and old. Without further ado, let's begin.
Dr. Maestas, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Happy to be here.
Yes, this is Confessions from a Dental Lab. We are the podcast that takes you beneath the surface so everyone in the dental industry can all learn right from the source and through these episodes get a little bit better. So today we're talking to Dr. Maestas. And Dr. Maestas, where are you calling from?
I am in El Paso, Texas.
Funny enough, I was actually talking to our owner earlier this morning, and he's like, oh, where in Texas is she from? And I said, you know, I'm not sure. I'm gonna find out, though. And he said, oh, because I'm from El Paso. So that is hilarious.
No way.
It's actually the, yeah, maybe I'll talk to you a little bit more about that after. But first question, we're really excited to have you here, is could you just introduce yourself? Like, who is Dr. Maestas, who you are, and what you do?
Sure. My name is Tanya Sue Maestas. I went to dental school in Houston. I'm from El Paso, Texas. And after completing my dental studies, I did an AGD and returned back to El Paso area. And now I'm a public health dentist at a FQHC in Chaparral, New Mexico, which is about 45 minutes outside of the city. And also a part-time faculty member at the Woody L. Hunt School of Dental Medicine here in El Paso as well. And I have a commitment to public health. It's an area that I feel very strongly about, and also a commitment to education. Just doing my part to hopefully help educate the next generation of dentists.
Amazing. Yeah, no, it just sounds like you're doing a lot of good. And usually when you put good into the world gives you good back. And it's funny, we actually got connected, I believe it was via Dr. Halpern, and she just kind of gave me a vague, like, oh, you've got to talk to Dr. Maestas. You know, she's doing some really cool stuff. So I was excited, and I'm really happy to hear you provide some more commentary on that. How long have you been practicing dentistry for? And could you tell us, like, maybe expand a little bit more on your dental journey? Like, did you always know you wanted to be a dentist growing up, or maybe just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. But to your point of Dr. Halpern, she's a rock star. Her and I met in dental school, and we met through ASDA. I was the ASDA national president, and she was my Speaker of the House, and we just had the opportunity to really collaborate. And it's so awesome to see what she's doing as a new dentist in the profession, and I can't wait to see, you know, all that she accomplishes in life and dentistry and organized dentistry, et cetera. But it's so nice to have friends like that, and you know, you continue to grow in the profession and your own personal journey, and continue to connect with others similar to her. But for me, I graduated in 2018 and did that residency, that AGD in 2019. So I've been out technically for about 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years. And yeah, I went straight into the FQHC that I'm at now. I had a public health commitment through a scholarship that I applied for with the National Health Service Corps. So they paid for my schooling in return to some service in an underserved area. Thankfully, I was able to find a location close to home. So I commute every day about 45 minutes or so to provide care to a very rural community, many of whom can't travel long distances to see a healthcare provider. So we're really doing a great service for that community, I feel, hopefully. And the reason that I wanted to go into dentistry is that I did a science project in the fifth grade to see what drink stains teeth the most. And at the time, I had the opportunity to meet with a lot of local dentists, and they were so welcoming to me. And I could see how much that they loved their job, loved what they did, loved the interaction that they had with their patients. And I think that that just made such a big impression on me at such a young age that it stuck with me. And so I knew that that was the direction that I wanted to go. And from there, the rest is history. And I'm thankful to be here now and be back in my hometown community. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for me.
Yeah, that is something special about being in your hometown. And like, let's say you weren't able to go back to your hometown. Was there something in your mind that like, hey, if I can't go back, if the stars don't align like this, would I go maybe someplace else? And did you have like a place in mind? And maybe if things didn't align so well, or just curious?
Yeah, you know, I'm a Texas girl through and through, and I'm one of those Texans that probably won't leave Texas. I just, you know, love the state just love being here in the city. And so for me, with my commitment, I really kind of just had to put feelers out to see what was available. I had 6 months to find a job. And if I didn't find a job, they would have placed me somewhere. And so at the time, this was pre-COVID, I had a really hard time finding a vacancy at an FQHC that would qualify for me to repay my commitment. And so I kind of just, I sent out applications everywhere throughout Texas that had availability at FQHCs in New Mexico and in Arizona. But at that point, I probably would have gone anywhere just to fulfill the commitment. But everything kind of happens for a reason, and I'm happy that things lined up and I'm at where I'm at. But I'm practicing in New Mexico now, but being here at the dental school allows me to kind of keep, you know, the Texas in me, and I still live in Texas and just commute out to another state. But yeah, that's me. I'm a Texas girl through and through.
Yeah, no, that's so fascinating actually, because my next question was, what's one X factor that separates you from other dentists? And I know you mentioned a little bit of it right there. Like you practice in both Texas and Mexico or something along those lines. And Dr. Halpern kind of alluded to that. She didn't give me a ton, but I was excited to kind of like get your take on it. And feel free to take this question in any direction you'd like. Like, I guess, like, what's one X factor that separates you from other dentists?
Yeah, well, so I practice in Texas and the state of New Mexico, not the country.
Oh,
Mexico.
You said New Mexico. Okay.
New Mexico. Yeah.
Apologies.
Though it's all very connected, being in the borderland, it's all very close. Mexico, New Mexico, and Texas. So I can see how that can be confusing. But yeah, I think that sets me apart from other practicing dentists. Being in public health has been very rewarding to me. I think for me, it's always been kind of my calling and passion to help others. And that's not to say that dentists don't help. You know, all dentists don't help others. They do. Our profession is very rewarding in that way. But we help others in a different way. We help a lot of patients that are underserved in poverty areas. And oftentimes when patients come to us, if they don't have insurance of some kind, they can apply for a sliding scale. And so what that sliding scale will be, will do for them is it'll give them a discount on dental care based on how much money they have coming in, what income they have. And so sometimes if they qualify for the highest discount, sometimes they'll come in and they'll end up paying $25 for whatever procedure we'll be doing that day, which is great. You know, it's great to be able to provide care to patients in an affordable way. And it's not sustainable for, you know, a private practice model, but it is sustainable for a federally qualified health center. We do get, you know, subsidized by the government. And for us providers that are at the clinic, we get paid a salary. So it's really not based on any kind of production or collection. It's really based on us being there and seeing those who come in. And I think that another thing that sets me kind of apart from other dentists is just my involvement in education at such a, I guess, young age in my dental path and career. I got inspired by the dental faculty who taught us in dental school. And through my involvement in ASA and being able to kind of work with other students, I knew that education was kind of the realm that I wanted to be in. And so when I heard there was a dental school opening up here in El Paso and got invited to be part of the team, I definitely knew that I wanted to do that. And so for me, I think long term, I would like to continue being in public health, but also transition into education a little bit more full time. But we know that, you know, in all educational settings, it's hard to make a living. The funding for, you know, salaries in an educational setting, whether it's in a dental school or outside of a dental school, you know, elementary or middle school, they're just not paid very well. So it's really hard as a young dentist to make that choice now, knowing that, you know, perhaps I would like to have a family in the future, and it's never too early to start saving for retirement. So I'm not at that point yet, but I'm hoping that that'll be in my wheelhouse in the future.
Yeah, you know, it just a takeaway, it really aligns with your overall mission of just helping people. And the more dentists we talk to on the show, and I guess just in, you know, helping them out with their lab work and stuff, the more you get an understanding for just how important dentistry is to holistic health. And
absolutely.
You know, by helping people who aren't maybe able to get insurance, because guess what? You talk about education. They don't teach insurance in schools, right? So it's very right. difficult to maybe break through if no one's ever taught you that. It's just very important. And I think it's great what you're doing. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of other people you just touch in their lives in positive ways. So that's really cool. Speaking of patients, what's one thing your patients have taught you over the years?
That's a great question. I think that my patients have taught me a little bit more about having patience, but also just kind of compassion. I think that it's very easy for us to kind of go throughout our day and almost put almost kind of just drift through the day and kind of, you know, do your filling, just go through the monotony of what life is day in and day out. And I think that it's important to always remember and take a step back and remember that everyone has a story when they come in, and to take time to listen to that story. Because dentistry is fun and it's important, and providing that care is important, but there's always a person behind the procedure that you're doing. And I think that that's an important thing to remember. And so I really enjoy listening to the stories and the backgrounds that all of my patients have coming in. And they're from all walks of life. You know, some of them have, you know, excellent careers and they've built their life up to get to that point, starting from nothing. And others are struggling. You know, many of them are migrants. Many of them grew up in a different country, and speaking English may not be their first language. And so being able to communicate to them in Spanish is also very important. So I think just, you know, that being empathetic, being compassionate, that's something that my patients kind of remind me just by being there and taking time to talk to them.
Yeah, everybody's a person. So that is really special. I know it's much better to be treated as a person than a number. And that's kind of what I took away. And another thing I took away is the bilingual ability, right? Funny enough, our lab's owner, Frank Heiser, grew up in El Paso or whatever. And then actually spent like 8 years in Peru. His family were missionaries. So he came back to the Wisconsin area when he was 18 for college, but he's bilingual as well. And it just provides like an unbelievable communication element to serving people, right? Like forget about the dentistry, forget about the lab. Like if you can meet someone where they are, it just makes things easier. And I'm sure that does not go unnoticed. So question for you. How important is it to work with a good dental lab, and why is that so important for dentists?
Oh, it's hugely important. I think that, you know, working with a good lab who you can communicate with, I think is huge. I think that if you have a certain vision that you'd like to accomplish, working with a great lab who's able to communicate with you will really just help bring that vision to life. But I think that it just comes down to also, you know, your day-to-day productivity. A remake can just set you back so much and can be very frustrating, not only for you as a practicing dentist, but also for your patient. So I think that having a good lab that you can communicate with, but also a good lab who provides great quality work, just really is a win-win across the board. It's a win-win for you. It's a win-win for your patient. And it kind of just allows you to move forward in your practice.
Move forward in your practice. I love how you just simplified that. I couldn't agree more. Bonus question. What do you think the future of dentistry looks like 10 years from now?
Yeah, that's a hot question, right? I feel like with AI and technology kind of taking over the world and the dental sphere, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what dentistry will look like. I definitely think that we will be seeing a lot more technology in the dental space and a lot more incorporation of AI. From a public health standpoint, I really hope that the price point comes down, at least for like scanners and some technology that we can incorporate in a public health setting. It can be really difficult for our clinics to purchase, you know, scanners and mills because they are so expensive. But I think that, you know, hopefully in 10 years, the price point for an entry-level model will be somewhere where our company will feel comfortable purchasing it and we're able to deliver digital dentistry to underserved communities. So for me, from a public health standpoint, that makes me very exciting. From a dentistry standpoint, I'm really excited to see what new technologies kind of come out. I'm excited to see what'll happen.
Yeah, no, speaking of new technologies, have you heard about like photogrammetry, excuse me?
No, tell me more.
Well, it's interesting. It's just like these high-powered cameras from Switzerland, scanner cameras, and we're hosting a CE event. But the reason we chose to do this particular topic is because it is like technology at the forefront, and obviously the Swiss know how to make some good stuff. They're very articulate with whether it be watches. You know, they make Garmin, OnClouds, and these cameras. And I was just wondering, because I think that's going to be a huge thing, too, over the next probably decade. We'll see what that happens. And
interesting. How is that? So it's a camera, not a scanner?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say too much on the pod because we have the event coming up. But all I know is these cameras are crazy expensive, and they present just like a lot of innovation. So I'm sure we'll do another episode in the future on that, but just for the sake of not, you know, saying anything wrong, I want to make sure we get our audience like the appropriate information and everything. How about this? Do you have any advice you would give to dentists to maximize success in 2024 and beyond? And then furthermore, do you have any personal goals for the future?
Ooh, so I'm going to break down your first question a little bit more. I think that if there is a new dentist who is graduating, who may feel a little bit lost and may not know where to go next, my advice for them would be to consider a career in public health, to look into working at a FQHC, even if it's just for a little bit. I think it's important to remember as a new dentist, you know, your first dental practice, the first place that you work doesn't have to be your forever home. It can be. And so maybe trying something like that out may open your eyes to something different. I think that it can be a lot of fun. I think that you learn a lot being at FQHC, and you provide a lot of good. And so I often think that many new dentists don't really consider public health dentistry as an option for them when they come out. But that would be, you know, a piece of advice that I share. I think my general advice for a practicing dentist on seeking success for the year is surround yourself by community. I think that the dental profession can feel very lonesome. I think especially for private practitioners or those who practice by themselves, you know, they may not feel like they have somebody that they can rely on or lean on. But I think that if you surround yourself by like-minded individuals who can support you, I think that that can go a long way. And I'm a big advocate for organized dentistry. And, you know, if you can get involved with a local component, I think that that can be really helpful for you in your trajectory as a clinician, and you may be able to find some support in that avenue. Some goals that I have for 2024 is just to, you know, continue to grow in my knowledge of dentistry, continue to give back to the profession, give back to my community, and help continue to educate, you know, the next generation of students. We have our first graduating class graduating in 2025. And so I have a personal goal in making sure that once they graduate, they find a place where they want to practice. If they feel like they need to go into a specialty or would like to go into a specialty, I want to make sure that I make the appropriate connections. And so, that's going to be on my radar for this upcoming year. And, you know, I make some funny content on social media. So that's also on my radar, is to continue to do that.
Yeah, where can people get in touch with you if they want to?
For sure. You can find me on Instagram at tsmaestas.dds. I also I host two podcasts as well. One is called New Dentists on the Block. It's an opportunity for me to share the new dentist story with new dentists across the nation. And another one is called Dental Fuel. That's through Ignite DDS. And that's an opportunity for me to speak with industry leaders to talk a little bit about some mistakes that they have made in their career. So we can also learn from each other's mistakes and continue to grow. So that's where you can find me. And I'm an open book and always willing to help.
Yeah, and just speaking from experience, and you obviously know just how great podcasts are for just networking and building that community around you and all that good stuff. So encourage everyone to go and check those profiles out, check out those podcasts, and I'm going to do a little bit of a lightning round before we get off here.
Okay.
So first question, I guess if you could just keep the answers to one or two sentences max, or one or two words max. And you don't even have to think too hard. I just love your instant reaction. So favorite food.
Okay. Ooh, enchiladas.
It's a musical artist you've been listening to a lot lately.
Ooh. I'm a big fan of George Strait.
What's the first app you open up in the morning?
Instagram.
What's a good book you've read?
Ooh, that's a good one. Atomic Habits.
What's your favorite class you've ever taken?
It's probably something back in college. I had a course that did like the history of music, and I had the opportunity to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it kind of all came together. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is super cool. My parents definitely played a lot of classic rock for me growing up. So definitely have an appreciation. They would always talk about it. Kind of leads into my next question, actually. Apple Music or Spotify?
Ooh, Spotify.
What's a good TV show you really enjoy?
Ted Lasso.
What's one of your favorite movies?
I love the holiday.
What's the next place you want to go on vacation?
Either somewhere in Mexico or somewhere in Europe.
Could you narrow it down a little bit for the audience?
Oh, yeah, Mexico, Puerto Vallarta.
Okay. If you could start or pursue any charity, what would it be?
I think I would pursue a charity to help underserved communities more. More, we need more FQHCs and clinics in rural areas.
Last question is, how's the family and how's Dr. Maestros, the person, doing?
Good and growing.
Amazing. Yeah, well, this has been another great episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. I just want to really thank Dr. Maestas for coming on. Any final thoughts?
Hey, this was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having me, and I hope that your listeners will find value in our conversation. And if I can do anything to help out your listeners, I hope that they'll reach out.
Amen. The feeling is mutual. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. Easiest way to help the show is just text it to a friend. You know, texting the show to one other person is a quick, easy way to help us all get 1% better and make the world a better place. So my name is KJ Eichsted. This has been a great conversation with Dr. Maestras. We'll catch you everybody soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. If you'd like to contact the show, simply send us an email at dentallabpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us at life@newartdental on Instagram. Thank you for listening once again. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. And until next time, we're out.